B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get in your podcast, and of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Chuck Bean, joined by Al Beck.
I'm here.
And James joining us on the phone this week.
Hello, I'm calling you all the way from 10 minutes away from the studio.
do you want to fill the listeners in on why the difference this week in the show?
Well, yeah, you guys were kind of preoccupied. Oh, sorry, is I supposed to feel that one? Or
no, no, go ahead, James.
I was going to feel it because I was the one who wasn't going to stick around at the studio. I had a much better, more important things to attend to. You guys are going to be able to hang out at the studio a little bit later than we normally record the show.
Yeah.
And I had to get home and get to important stuff.
Yeah, like what? What are you doing? What's so important that you couldn't wait around to do the podcast?
All right, well, fairly important.
What was that question, Al?
Nothing. No, we got our answer. We know everything we need to know.
All right.
I was watching Steve Harvey. He had a kid play the piano. He self-taught. It was a very beautiful rendition of some song I never heard of, but it was cool. And then some lady won like $800 matching. Play some match games, and now I'm on the phone with you guys. So.
Yeah, that sounds really important.
That's the afternoon everybody wants.
No
right?
idea.
Yeah, but yep. so here's what happened. Like, so Chuck here had to board op today. Normally, we will record around 11 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
James and I are usually working on post show production for the morning show, and we'll peel ourselves away, do the podcast, and go back to work and whatever. But because Chuck was board oping, he wasn't going to be free until 3. Right?
Right.
And James had this important stuff he had to do.
He had stuff to get to, man.
Lots of important errands to run, business to tend to.
He's got a very full schedule.
And
you guys, I missed half of it because Facebook is down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
true.
That's a thing going on right now.
Down.
Facebook and Instagram.
You know how many things I've tried? Yeah, I've tried to comment on so many things waiting for this phone call. And not a single one have gone through.
Yeah.
I love the complaint. I've tried to comment on so many things. I love that. But you know what?
There's been like 6 things I've given a crap about.
Well, here's the funny thing, James, and I think you'll appreciate this, is that my afternoon did not go as planned either for this whole thing. So for me, my ordinary...
What do you mean? You didn't get your pump on? You went upstairs to work out?
Correct.
You're not all swole for the podcast?
I'm not all swole for the podcast. That's correct. And here's what happened, but I do think you'll appreciate this. So my plan was, typically, you know, when I found out Chuck had to be tied up until 3, I was like, well, listen, dude, like I do our post-show production. I go work out. I'm usually getting down here 2:30, 3 o'clock. So timing's perfect for me. I'll be around. So great. Okay, we'll go ahead and record. So you and I got done with our work, and I, as you were leaving, all right, James, I'm heading up to the gym, which is here.
Yeah, you had your gym bag and everything.
I had my gym bag and everything, and I go upstairs.
There goes Rocky.
Yeah. I go upstairs, and I think to myself, oh, man, like, my comic guy is going to be here at, like, 1, a little after 1 o'clock. I might still be upstairs, and that'll be another week I have to blow him off and say, hey, dude, come back another time because I'm busy.
You do realize the treadmill has a pause button. You could pause that bad boy.
I could.
Go meet your comic guy.
I could.
Get back upstairs. Get a little extra cardio from the stairs.
Yeah.
But and then actually cut your workout like 5 minutes short.
Then I got to walk through the lunch bunch all sweaty and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it's, at least it's not, whatchamacallit, it's not potluck day.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's not potluck.
That hub would be full of people.
So, but here's my thing is I figure, all right, I can go get my comics and be back here around 1:30. I've still got time to go work out, get done, pop in, do the podcast. This is still perfect. Great. So I decide I go hang out with Jade for a little bit. I kill some time and I go to meet my comic guy at 1 o'clock at the normal spot off site. So I go and I get there a little bit early and I'm sitting there. And as I'm waiting, I'm getting tired and bored. And the more bored I get, the more hungry I get. So I started my car back up and went to Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's one choice.
And I got my, you know, because I am also another aficionado of cheesy Gordita crunches. So I got a couple tacos, a cheesy gordita crunch, and a Mountain Dew, and parked my car in the, waiting for my comic guy going, there will be no exercise today. And then I came back, and me and Chuck have just been BSing in the studio until now. And this, this is what my afternoon has become.
I kind of feel like that's the afternoon of anybody who's going to meet somebody in the parking lot to buy comics.
He's got a point there, Sting.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I got hungry. I got Taco Bell. Yeah. I ate it while I waited.
Oh, yeah, the only thing that was missing was weed. I was not high at the time, but that's about all that was missing from that scenario.
Well, this
week's, there you go.
This week's Nerd Radio is going to run hot and cold because me and Al both have some rage stories to share with you guys.
Yes.
And you know, we've some stuff to talk about that we're really happy about, too.
Yeah.
I'll leave it up to you, James. Where would you like to start?
Oh, let's go with some rage,
You
man.
Want to start with the rage?
Yeah.
All right, Al, tell
that rage flow through you.
Why don't you start with yours? Yours is more relatable.
For my close personal friends that all follow me on social media, you already know this story. But Monday afternoon, I sat down to play some Red Dead Redemption 2, which I've been enjoying and checking out.
Yeah,
Last couple of days that I've been playing it, I got this app on my phone where it tells you where all like the hidden treasures are and the hideouts and the dinosaur bones, all the collectibles. And instead of doing missions, I'm just checking out collectibles. I'm just riding around, finding stuff, having a good time.
Buried gold or whatever else.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a digital Indiana Jones.
Yeah, a little bit.
There you go.
So I get a little bit north of Valentine, the first city, and I find my first hideout, an O'Driscoll hideout.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, poke around and see what's in there. So, of course, when I get close enough, one of them sees me and they start firing on me.
Yeah.
So I go to return fire on them. I killed like two of them and then I died. And when you die in Red Dead Redemption 2, much like Grand Theft Auto, a scene plays and then you wake up, you know, about a couple yards away.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a little bit of money off you. I think the first time it was like $8 or something they took off me from. And I'm like, well, I should be able to. There can't be that many of them over there. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go and take them out. And I died again, and now it's $10. And they put me 2 yards away. I did this 4 or 5 times in a row, going like, "Well, this I'm not gonna save this game, but I'm gonna beat these guys." at one point, I got so frustrated trying to ride back because every time you do it, they take a little bit more money and put you even farther away.
Really? Okay.
Even farther away. So one of the times I tried to get back, I had to get on my horse and ride over there. The horse tripped over a mountain or some bullshit.
What? I fell off mountain?
Yeah, I fell off the horse and he, like, you know, before he could even get back up, I pulled my gun and shot him. I was so frustrated.
Oh, the poor horse.
I was like, the hell, your leg's broken. Get out of here.
No, I'm fine. I can get. Oh my god!
Nope. I'm done. You know my history with horses.
Well, Shadow of the Colossus.
Right. By the fifth time, they're putting me like I don't know, like a mile away. And I ride over there, and every time I kill like two guys, and then some dude spawns behind me and shoots me in the brains.
The two guys that you're shooting. You're shooting and killing two guys. They're probably spawning right behind you. And then you're repeating the cycle.
So after I was so done after the fifth time, I just took my controller and I bounced it off. I was just fired it off the ground. Just like, just friggin' game. And because
you shattered it?
I didn't shatter it. PlayStation 4 controllers?
Yeah.
Surprisingly resilient.
Okay.
However, because of the shape of a PlayStation 4 controller,
uh-oh,
they bounce kind of weird.
Yeah.
And it bounced from the floor right into my television.
Oh!
55-inch televisions? Not resilient.
Oh, no!
Yeah, that thing was done.
Smoked it!
You terminated your TV?
I terminated my TV, so I'm
Holy
done.
Crap.
I am done playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I can't, in good conscience, continue to play a game that killed my television.
Well, the game didn't kill it, you did.
No, it was all the game's fault. It's absolutely 100%.
That's incredibly unfortunate.
Oh, no, that's so sad.
Yeah, so thankfully, I have a backup TV. It's not, you know, it's a little smaller, but using the backup TV. And
now, James, I would expect to have a backup TV because James has got some rage issues, too.
Believe it or not, I don't have a backup TV. So that's the one thing I got to make sure I don't manhandle.
Have you broken a TV with a video game controller, James?
No, but I've destroyed a couple of video games and like a PS2.
Oh, you snapped a disc or two in your time?
Yeah, it turns out throwing the controller directly at the system with the game inside as your game is racing is not a good idea.
Ah, yes.
Because it not only damages the console, but it also damages the disc inside. So you end up having to pull a scammeroo or two in order to get some working video games when you're a child.
Yeah. Right. Do you recall which video game you will never be playing again? Which one?
It was one of Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
That's fair. For sure.
Yeah, it was a Mortal Kombat. And I think I lost a bat. I don't know. I was trying to do a fatality or something. You know how Mortal Kombat goes.
I'm upset because I was genuinely, like, I was really curious. I was interested in the story of Red Dead Redemption 2. I think it's a beautiful game. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
The story is very well written. It's very well voiced acted and everything like that. But those controls are terrible.
DMX is getting a workout today. I think it's a second appearance.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. The controls are very similar to the first game, but there is like a little extra, I guess, and that's frustrating.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up because Kevin, longtime listener to the show, our buddy Kevin, I posted a picture of the TV basically saying, like, well, I guess I'm done playing Red Dead Redemption 2. and he had responded to it and said, part of the frustration he has with the game is that he wants it to be the first one and it's not. So I went back and played the first one on my 360 for about a half an hour. Whew, it's night and day. It's just so easy to play.
Yeah.
So getting up on a horse and getting off a horse, I don't have to worry about the horse running into shit.
And I can
pull my gun and when I press the trigger to fire, it actually fires instead of waiting a second to fire. Like, I don't know if Arthur Morgan eventually gets good at cowboying, but he is awful from the start, man.
Yeah. Well, there's like little nuances to the second game that weren't in the first. Like, for example, you've got a lever action repeater.
Yeah.
And you fire it. You have to like click the trigger again or release the aim button and then re-engage it in order for him to cock the lever rather than just automatically doing it. Same thing with the bolt action rifle.
That sounds incredibly complicated for a video game.
Yeah. So you have to like let go and do it again. Yeah.
It's like they went for realism and in doing so screwed the game up. And that's something I realized too when I was like, I'm done with playing this game. Essentially, this game, Red Dead Redemption 2, is essentially Zelda Breath of the Wild, except Breath of the Wild is fun.
Yeah.
Is fun to play. And Red Dead Redemption 2 is very interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I really want to play it anymore. Just like that. I'm going to, you know what? I've got a stack of games for my PS4. I'll play Final Fantasy 15 now. I've been waiting to play that anyways.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play it anyways. I'll try that out now.
It does look nice. So I do. This is kind of sad to admit, but I think on Nerd Radio, it's a safe place. But the first game I enjoyed so much and looked so pretty that there were a few times I was in a bad mood and I just enjoyed the catharsis of riding the horse.
Yeah.
And I would get on my Red Dead Redemption horse and just ride it to clear my head.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Man.
Have you ever had like that sort of catharsis experience with a video game, guys?
I think so. I can't remember the last time it happened. I don't know. I tell you what, when I was younger, I had way worse rage issues.
Yeah.
As an adult, it's definitely decreased and, you know, I'm a much better sport about that stuff. But I bounced a Nintendo controller off a picture tube television more than once. It makes it very satisfying.
Oh, man, the Nintendo controller. Now, that was a controller built for demolishing.
Yeah. Nintendo always builds their stuff.
He needs heavy artillery to destroy one of those bad boys.
Nintendo always builds their stuff really sturdy.
What was the one, that special giant Nintendo controller that had the joystick on it?
The NES Advantage.
The NES Advantage. Now, how about that one?
I did not throw a NES Advantage. But I did.
Dude, a professional wrestler would even use that in the ring to beat somebody over the head with, because it would hurt so bad.
Man, I want to see that. I want to see somebody in like a wrestling ring pull out the NES Advantage and use it as a porn object. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah,
well, you need to set up some sort of a death match inside of a video game resale shop or something, like the Stone Cold Booker T grocery store match.
Right, exactly.
I like it. I like it. I do like, but back to the realism thing, that is one issue. I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't game enough. Maybe people who game a lot really want that extra sense, that extra step to make it more difficult, I guess, or challenging. But I don't know. Like, that's bugged me since I used to play Madden. And I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I will never forget when they introduced, like, the QB Vision, where you had a separate controller where to control what the quarterback could see. I was like, and you're just trying to make it more real. Like, I'm not a quarterback. That's why I'm fat and playing a video game right now and not on a football field. Right. I don't need it to be real.
The whole reason I'm playing this fantasy game is so I don't have to deal with the reality of things.
These are skills I don't have, or I would have a sweet life. That's why what don't you understand about that?
Well, the last Rockstar game, the one that you played, the Grand Theft Auto V that you enjoyed so much, I borrowed that off Ghoul, and I only played it for an hour, and I had a similar experience where, like, there's too much going on to try and make this game feel as real as possible. I don't play Grand Theft Auto for realism.
Yeah.
Play Grand Theft Auto to get in a car that I don't own and crash it.
Yeah, that game was a little tough at first for even me. As much as I ended up liking it, it took a little while to get going. But once I did, I got invested in the characters and the stories, and I had a great time.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think that was one that I had to play a couple times and did not enjoy myself.
It took a couple hours
first.
Before you really kind of fell into, okay, this is how this game works.
I played it for a little bit, hated it, and shut it off, and then came back to it like a week later and was like, all right, that was an expensive video game. Let's give it another try.
Oh, and that's definitely been my Red Dead Redemption thing, is that I bought it release week for maximum for the price. So I'm like, man, I spent a lot of money in this game. Like, I got to eventually find something I like in there.
Yeah. Well, we will get back to my rage thing, but that's TV related. So I wanted to keep on the video game theme for a second here. And actually, we just bitched and complained about realism. I wanted to circle back to last week's conversation and, you know, James sort of unintentionally, but luckily did talk me into buying a PlayStation VR.
Yeah, sold you on the VR headset.
It blew.
Yeah, it was the unintentional Billy Mays for the PlayStation VR system. You said your regular reality tribe is virtual reality. And Al bought right into it, man.
I did, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on it because we did just talk about it in depth last week. But
right, but you got yours last Wednesday, and you got a chance to check it out.
I did get a chance to check it out, and again, James's review, which he basically almost like the very same review he did for us on the show last week, and then the fact that Chuck the Freak had mentioned, oh, I heard you can do Red Dead Redemption in VR.
Right.
Which, if there is a way, I'm doing it wrong. I don't believe it is. But what he was you can play anything you want with the VR headset on, and it basically looks like the world's biggest TV. Like imagine the TV takes up your entire wall,
right?
But it also has the sensory deprivation between, you know, the headphones and like the how it kind of blocks off the light. So there's no, oh, my kitchen's off in my peripheral on the left or whatever.
Sure.
So you can play Red Dead Redemption like that, but it's flat and it's not actually VR, but it's still kind of cool. But
sounds
no.
like a great way for Chuck to get over the loss of his 55-incher.
It's interesting when you word it that way too. It makes it sound all kind of dirty.
Everyone knows I'm famous for my 55-incher.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I hear. You hear about Chuck Dean, I'm like, is that the guy with the mother effing 55-incher?
Right.
55-incher.
But that's soft. That's what the power turned off.
Power glove. I 100% back James's review up, though, man.
Yeah, like, you had a great time.
I played that Bridge Crew, the one that, I mean, I raved about that game without VR when I first bought it. And, dude, like, I was on a Starship bridge. Like, you can look behind you and see the turbo lift. It's like, it is such a cool experience.
That's awesome.
I'm getting a little jealous here, hearing the escapades Al's been going on with his VR. He's exploring the Final Frontier in Star Trek.
Right.
I started playing the Rick and Morty game, and so far all I've done is laundry and charged a battery, and then I got shot. So, you know, you think you're going into a VR, like it's going to be like the Oasis and Ready Player One. Here I am, my regular life's more exciting than my VR life.
So let me ask you this, James. Have you tried that Batman game yet?
Yeah, I have. So far, it's not getting that great of a review. It's not as Batman-esque as I thought it would be. Like I thought I was going to be Batman. I'm going to be kicking people's asses, you know, fighting the Joker and stuff. But it's almost like Batman CSI.
Yes.
Like, so what I've played so far is I'm investigating a crime scene where Nightwing, spoiler alert, Nightwing gets killed. So I'm like analyzing this crime scene, and you have to like rewind and fast forward like this video that you can see like right in front of your face of like Nightwing getting beat up, and you have to hit a certain button during certain moments of the fight to get clues. So it's really underwhelming so far, that one.
See, it's funny that you say that, because I purchased that same game and I played it all the way through, and I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Did you not get a kick out of being in the Batcave?
Well, yeah, that was, I mean, there's definitely some cool elements to it, but for me, it wasn't delivering on what I felt like, some of the action
sure.
that I thought. And,
well, yeah. What I am learning, like, here's the thing, as happy as I am with my VR headset and the experience I've had so far, I see where improvements need to be made, and that sounds pessimistic, but honestly, I'm thrilled so far. With this, but like that, I was kind of expecting the same thing. I thought I was gonna be able to fight someone like you were saying, James. And yeah. you can't even walk around. There's usually like four or five different angles that you can choose from. You just kind of look over here, and there's a button you can push to transfer, and it's just like a camera cut.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's like you can either see from the eyes of Batman or from his butthole, or then a random camera angle.
I didn't realize there was a butthole cam in the Batsuit.
The butthole of Batman.
Yeah, well, they don't call it that. You know, they just call it like the rear view cam or whatever. But it's essentially a view of life if you're, you know, Batman's turd cutter.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, it's the bat hole then, you know, the bat cave,
yeah, the bat hole, there
Batmobile, Batarang, bat hole.
That's the actual bat cave.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, the aesthetic of like really, because I thought the graphics were good, and it's kind of realizing that the processing power required to be able to walk around isn't quite there. Because I did find a game while I was looking through the store, and I like went a little VR happy. I mean, I didn't buy a bunch of stuff, but
sure.
There was a game I found that looked sort of like a Call of Duty, and I was like, well, that would be kind of cool to do a first person shooter in VR. Now, this one, you can walk around. But it's a lot clunkier than that Batman game is. Batman looks really pretty, but you can't move around very much, and it's very limited. This one you can move. It doesn't look nearly as pretty.
You know, they did Borderlands 2 in VR. I'm just saying.
I thought Al knew that. That's the one game everybody's like, you got to get Borderlands.
I'm right.
Like, okay, hold on. Let me play Rick and Morty first. I want to go explore the Galactic World. Get stoned, you know?
Yeah. Right, exactly. You want to get messed up with Rick and listen to Morty complain.
Well, one, James, you and I talked about off mic was that Ace Combat 6, the fighter pilot one.
Sure.
I did get that.
Yeah. Look at you. You get the VR collection.
I know.
Like an amateur. Chuck, I think we've created a monster here.
You might have.
Yeah, I blame you mostly, James, and I'm fine with it. But no, I did play that game, and it was incredible. But I'll tell you right now, I don't get motion sick. I got motion sick.
That was my only question.
Yeah.
Did you vomit?
I didn't throw up, but I had to lay down.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a fighter pilot game, so you're chasing a bogey, and you're, you know, making all these crazy, turns.
Right.
Upside down.
And turns and flips. And,
yeah, I had to take my headset off. I was like, ooh.
I think that's why, like you guys were talking about in the Batman game, you don't walk, and there's a lot of VR games, the ones that I played, where you don't actually, your character doesn't move except for, like, camera cut kind of stuff, and I think that's part of it is because what you experience with Ace Combat, because it does screw with your equilibrium.
It does.
In the same way that it really messes the couple of VR games I played, it really messes with me when I look down and I know my body is there, but because of the VR headset, there is nothing, and that's just super weird.
Well, the other weird thing, and I don't know if you've had this experience too, James, is like you've heard the concept of like a phantom limb. Somebody has an amputation and they feel like it's still there even though it's not. I felt like I had some of that experience when playing Star Trek, because Star Trek, you don't move around, but you're in your position. And if I look down, the captain's body is there. So I look down and there's these legs and there's these feet, and then I'll move my foot. And because it's not like a full body motion sensor thing, the foot doesn't move, but I can feel it moving. And then I've got my hands in my lap with the controller, but if I look to my computer panel to the left, I see the captain's hand on the computer, so I've got these extra arms. It's crazy.
Yeah, it does get kind of weird. So, like, playing Rick and Morty, when the game first opens up, you essentially, here's what you literally do. You have to open up a cabinet, find a game, put it in the system, and hit play. Like, you're actually trying to put a game in real life.
Okay.
And the way I was situated, I felt like I was actually going to bump my head on the counter that the TV was resting on. So, like, no matter where I would put my arms or my, like, how, no matter how I was angled, I know it's fake, but as I'm trying to, like, lean forward to reach something with, the move wands, I was worried I was actually going to bump my face on things, like, within the game.
Right. You were going to bump your face on things that aren't there.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I think that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading what you guys are describing because
no, it sounds like
the phone thing.
Yeah, no, it sounds exactly yeah. like what we're talking yeah. about. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah. No, it's
okay.
Yeah. No, there's been definitely a few times where you want to reach out and grab something.
Yep.
And there was
yeah, then you realize, oh, it's a game, stupid. There's nothing really there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, James, but there was a character that showed up in Batman that made me jump a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm ready for Doom.
Oh, boy. It's like a couple of jump scares in my future, I see.
That's, yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that a lot of that VR stuff, like the cheap and easy way to get you to react to it, because you're, like you were saying, your whole head is encompassed in this yeah. thing, is to kind of have something jump at you.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they base a whole game on some stuff jumping at you, they're like, I don't know if I need that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to check out the motion wands. Do you find, because Chuck has some, and he brought in them for me to try to see if it would be yeah. worth spending the money on. But you've played it. Did it enhance the experience at all?
Yeah, because instead of like fiddling with the controller, you move your hand around, you see a hand, you highlight what you're trying to grab, you hit the trigger, and you do whatever it needs to do. I think it makes things a lot easier than trying to use the controller to fiddle with whatever you're doing.
Crap, I'm going to end up buying some of my own.
Well, that's why I'm letting you borrow them.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I refuse to let this be another Die Hard situation. I'm going to test these things out over the weekend. I'm bringing them back to Chuck Monday morning.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to bring them back when the PS5 VR comes out. You've already maxed out 2 credit cards trying to buy the damn thing.
That's the fun thing about all this VR stuff, too, is like the PlayStation VR headset is only about 2 years old. Like, not even.
Yeah.
So you are still kind of dealing with, like, the first generation of them doing this stuff. So God yeah. knows what it's going to look
at
like
least
4 or 5 years from now.
First generation of it really being accessible. I mean, because,
yeah.
like, they had the Samsung thing that
sure.
was
there's the
affordable.
Oculus Rift on yeah. the computer and stuff.
But VR being affordable and actually a contender, like, making an actual impact is pretty new within the last couple of years. Because VR right. has been around a while.
Oh, for sure.
But... it's like,
yeah, remember Nintendo's a Virtual Boy?
I was about to bring that up. You can just stick your face in the Virtual Boy and get
there
sick.
There you go, yeah.
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 But, yeah, no, I'm very impressed with it. And even though I do see things like, you know, like we were kind of talking about with Batman, you can't really walk around, and that's a bummer. Didn't really bother me any because it just made sense. I'm like, oh, okay, like I get it. It's not there yet.
Sure.
It looks great, though, so I can deal with it. So I can see where improvements will be made down the road.
Right.
But I'm really, really stoked about where it's at right now. And it will, when they do come out with the next generation, it'll have my attention a little bit earlier, I think.
It is awesome to hear both of you guys talk about this. Cause like whenever, it's like when I got my Switch, like whenever you get a new system and you spend a lot of money on it, like it's the new toy. And there's an aspect of, I want it to be good, yeah. even if it's not. But everything you guys are talking about, like it's just like the joy on both on your face yeah. and the joy on James' face last week talking about it. It's just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah, man. This is what gaming's all about.
Escaping reality.
I thought it was all about bouncing a controller yeah. off a television. Look what I
No, it's all about escaping real life nonsense and
yeah.
doing other nonsensical things in some other virtual reality.
All right, well, let's take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back. We can hear what Al wants to rage about television-wise. Yeah. And I got a couple of news stories to hit you guys with before we wrap up this week's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, you got Larry B. Scott from Revenge of the Nerds, Party, 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 and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio all over wherever you get your podcast, whether you're on, what is it, Spotify, Apple?
Spotify, Apple, BPodStudios.com.
That's
we
right.
are part of the BPod Network.
And wherever you do get yeah. your, wherever you do get the podcast, please rate and review us, man. Yeah. Let us know.
And we're also posted up two radio station websites, WRF.com and Alt929Boston.com.
Absolutely. Yeah. On the phone with James as we're
hey,
recording.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
We're recording a little yeah. late this week, but Al Beck and Chuck in the studio. Al would like to get the show over as fast as possible so he can go, get home and go to bed.
I got it.
If Al's there any longer, they're going to start charging his ass rent.
Yeah, well, I know. I've had those weekends.
That's funny, because there is no overtime. They just start charging you rent.
Yeah, exactly. They don't start paying you extra. They just start charging you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Got to get out of here.
So my weekend was filled with a little bit of rage, as you guys heard in this last particular thing. Al, unsurprisingly, also had a little bit of rage issues this weekend. Not video game related, though. You want to fill us in on the story, Al?
Yeah, okay. So this is really for my fellow Trekkies, so my apologies, James. But Chuck, you can kind of relate to this.
Absolutely.
So there's the new series out, Star Trek Discovery, and I've talked about it on the show that I do enjoy it, right? And it has been good. It looks great. The aesthetics are great. The production is great. I like the characters. The big issue with the show has always been they do not care about the canon, about the established Star Trek universe. And I think, see, now that's a thing that I think even James can relate to because of things like Star Wars.
Sure.
When they just completely disregard everything that they've established over the history of the franchise. But with Star Trek, they pick and choose what they decide. It's whatever's convenient for them.
And that's almost more frustrating.
It is frustrating, but here's the thing. And we've talked before that I am a believer in tell your story. You know, when you've got a new Batman creative team, if you don't take in 70, 80 years, whatever it is of history, he's been around since 1939. You don't need to know everything. Like, just tell your Batman story. Keep the basics the same, who the character is, who the villains are. Create your own thing and tell your story. I'm fine with that. So I have forgiven Star Trek for a lot of transgressions against canon, but they finally really upset me, though, on the most recent episode from, I guess, last week, last Thursday, because they started it. Quick recap for people who aren't super into Star Trek or whatever. The original series, obviously, William Shatner, Captain Kirk, so forth. There was that lost pilot episode where Christopher Pike was the captain of the Enterprise.
Okay.
And it failed. They retooled it, reintroduced it to the network with Kirk in command, and that's what got picked up.
Okay.
But they brought Pike back, did an episode called The Menagerie where they go back and they pick scenes from the episode. But so, again, canonizing this character. Spock was on the first pilot and everything. So Christopher Pike is in this season of Discovery because it's a prequel, sort of. So they go back in time and they got this character. And so they want to go to this planet from the original pilot of Star Trek. And to remind you what this planet is, they play actual footage from the original series of the old actor, Leonard Nimoy. They play scenes from it. And that enraged me because you do not give a flying F about anything that Star Trek has established so far. How dare you pull up footage from the original series and play it?
Old footage from something that you're not,
that you don't care about, that you refuse to respect. You do not respect this show, and yet you are going to play footage from it? Go F yourself. I was so pissed. I was so mad about that.
Did you shut the episode off?
No, I watched the whole thing.
All right. Because I remember, like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where when you realized that you had to watch the Captain America movie, you just quit. You just quit right then and there.
And the funny thing about that was I had seen the movie, so I was up to date.
Yeah.
But the fact that I had to have seen it made me so mad I shut it off.
Yeah.
Well, Star Trek, it's Star Trek. I have a very, very tight connection to Star Trek.
But forgiving.
So pissed. Like, I forgave you for all of this. And then you go and do something like, oh, man, I felt so cheap and whorish when they did that to me.
You're going to watch next week, right?
Yeah.
So I guess I don't understand. Why are you so upset? They used old footage in a new episode?
They used old footage from a show that they clearly don't respect the history behind.
Like, they're not actually using that footage in continuity. They're just using the footage to remind you, hey, we did this once before.
Yeah.
But now we're going to do it different.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think James is buying in at all.
No, I'm trying to think of, like, an example of, like, I mean, it would be like in Star Wars 9, they decide to, like, the timeline's all muddied up and it makes no sense. And then they go and play a scene out of A New Hope to, like, remember Tatooine? Because it's from this movie,
right?
And then we're going to do something that has nothing to do with that at all. And you're like, well, why the hell did you just show me that movie that I love? And then not respect it.
Remember R2-D2? Yeah, he's a Jedi too.
Yeah. Yes. There's a good example.
Okay. Now I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to make R2-D2 a Jedi. Get the F out of here.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I mean, it's
I think I'd be angry if you made C-3PO a Jedi. That would
be, it would be more, much worse. R2-D2 would be a much better Jedi than C-3PO. That's for sure. Now, that's a little bit.
It's sad, but I agree with that statement.
There you go.
Rage would be much, much, much greater.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, more intense rage if C-3PO was a Jedi. I'm talking more rage than I had when Luke dusted his shoulder off during The Last Jedi. Like,
oh, yeah. Rage. Oh, my God, yeah. But I think that example, R2-D2 being a Jedi, is a little bit of a hyperbole, but it's that same kind of thing where it's like, it was never like that, and we decided to change it, but we're still going to, I don't know, it's just, maybe I'm alone. I don't know, but it makes me very upset.
Well, let's talk a little bit about something else in the movie theater that people were pretty upset about, and that is Captain Marvel.
People were upset?
Well, you know, leading into the movie, there were people that said Brie Larson doesn't want men to see this movie, and once the movie came out this weekend, I don't want to spoil too much of it because it just came out, but there's a couple of changes to some characters that people were not super pleased about. I went and saw it on Sunday. I loved it.
So you both have seen it then?
Yeah, because James, you saw it last week, right?
Yeah, I saw it last week. I don't think it was a bad movie. I think it was a good movie. It was a good Marvel movie, but I thought it was very, very vanilla.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't anything, there was no sprinkles on the ice cream, you know? It was just,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Marvel, another Marvel movie, cool. We got a couple sneak peeks. You know, the cherry on top is a couple cut scenes that give you some info on Endgame, but other than that, I was like,
I like that analogy, though.
Everything I thought would be there.
I like that analogy because I love ice cream, but man, if you put some of the toppings on it, it makes it go from good to spectacular.
Well,
man, could you imagine ice cream with some hot fudge and some nuts and sprinkles and whipped cream?
Yes,
melted
marshmallow.
You can tell he's been smoking. He's got the munchies now. Talking about ice cream.
Well, I haven't been smoking, and I think I have the munchies too.
No, I
you guys started it with the Taco Bell talk. Yeah.
In talking to Amy after we got done with it, I realized that I definitely, even now, when it comes to Marvel and DC as two different universes, even down to the comic books, because me and you have talked about, like, Bendis doing DC comics now and how I'm not, like, kind of about them.
Yeah.
I live in the Marvel universe mentally, but I only visit the DC universe.
Sure, yeah.
Like, and I can't disagree with James that this isn't, like, the best movie of all time as far as Marvel movies go, but I had a really good time. I really enjoyed it. And I think part of it is because it's set in the 90s, so like the soundtrack is all right up my alley.
Oh, there's a lot of nostalgia factor.
Yeah, there's a ton of nostalgia.
Yeah,
I was
going to say, the movie's a ton of fun, and there's a ton of nostalgia, so I totally get, you know, where Chuck's coming from.
And I just, I got done with the movie. Going into the movie, I was thinking about the fact that Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, has been, they've made her kind of a real focal point in the Marvel Universe for almost a decade now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't collect her main book, but she shows up in a lot of the books that I do collect, but I don't feel like I know who she is. But I'll tell you, by the end of this movie, I'm a Captain Marvel fan.
Okay.
I really enjoy the character, the way the character is put together in the movie, the way she's a smartass, but like not a Tony Stark level smartass.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's more quiet and subtle about like messing with Nick Fury. And then she'll get this grin on her face to be like, yeah, I'm messing with you right now. I got you to say something really goofy and I'm messing with you right now, which is kind of fun. I enjoyed the hell of it. And I'll tell you what, for all the, they had to change the way they rate movies on Rotten Tomatoes because before people were even seeing it, they were giving it bad ratings and stuff
trolling.
Like that.
Yeah.
For everything that was going against the movie before it came out, it did not stop anybody from going and seeing a Marvel movie this weekend. I went on Sunday afternoon and had to wait for two showings before I could get two seats together.
Really?
Yeah.
We
went at 3 o'clock and couldn't get in until the 4 o'clock showing. There's like a 3:10 and a 3:30 showing, and both of them, there were a couple of seats, but they were all like separated in the theater.
This was on a Sunday?
On a Sunday.
That's crazy. Like, I know that it did real well at the box office, but I didn't realize, you know, the theaters were that jammed.
Yeah, I pulled up a news story. Apparently, it did something in the neighborhood of around like $450 million or something. Yeah, $455 million this weekend, which set a bunch of records. It's the highest opening I think it's one of the highest openings of all time, but it's the highest opening in 2019 so far, which I think we all know.
That's cool.
Avengers is going to blow that out of the water.
Well, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And that's, you know, you bring up Avengers. I don't want to miss the boat on seeing that in theaters.
Yeah.
So I think my goal for the remainder of this week or this weekend is to finally watch Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, yeah,
should. So I can get to Captain Marvel, because I think that's the only thing I'm missing. I need to see Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
And then I can watch Captain Marvel. Then I'll be caught up in the MCU.
Right. Yeah, and see,
and you know, in order to do that, you'll have to take your VR helmet off right now.
That's true. That's true. You saw Black Panther, too, right?
I did see Black Panther, okay. And yep. I saw, actually, I saw Infinity War with James. We went to one of the press screenings.
Yeah, no, I'm interested.
Oh, that's right. We had, like, a little lunch date.
We did. We had a lunch date at the burger bar.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we made sure there was a seat in between the two of us.
Yep.
Or did I sit next to you? I don't remember. I know the seat between us came up in conversation. I don't know if I was like, you want me to sit one away, or how do you want to sit? I think we ended up sitting apart.
I think we did, because it was like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm perfectly comfortable sitting next to James.
I was going to say, you guys put a seat together, you put a seat between you, but you still held hands.
Well,
so.
Yeah, well, because I got that long reach. Reach across the seat to embrace Al, you know?
Yeah, it makes you appreciate it more.
Yeah, exactly.
Distance. But, yeah, no, that is my plan to watch it. I was going to watch it over the weekend, but most of Saturday I spent on the VR, and really not just the one day. I didn't, you know, as cool as it is, I'm able to give myself a break.
Right.
But I was planning on watching Ant-Man and the Wasp. I ended up watching two movies this weekend. Neither of them were that.
Neither of them being Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No. Both of them were prison movies based on Stephen King books.
Hey, well, all
can
right.
Can you guess what those are?
The Green Mile is one of them.
Yep.
I don't remember what
Shawshank
the other
Redemption.
One. There you go. Yep. All right.
I was going to say, I think the Shawshank, but I didn't know the other one.
Yep.
Yep.
Together we had the answer.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I watched both of them over the weekend.
No, I think, you know what James said about Captain Marvel is kind of the way I feel about the Ant-Man movies. Like, not necessary, but fun, not bad. Whereas the Captain Marvel movie, like, I'm definitely on board with if she's going to be the focus in the same way that Iron Man's been the focus for the last 10 years of Marvel movies. If now Captain Marvel's going to be the focus, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, but I have to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp before I watch Captain Marvel, and I have to watch both of them before I watch the new Avengers movie, because I care about canon, even if Star Trek Discovery doesn't.
That's fair. All right, I got one more thing I wanted to tell you about, because this popped up. First of all, do you know Todd McFarlane has an Instagram?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he does.
I can't say I'm shocked, though.
No, he did a video on Instagram about a week ago where he was showing he's still got the pencils and inks from one of the pages from Spider-Man 300,
okay,
which is the origin of Venom. And he told a story in the Instagram video about the fact that the reason he created the Venom character is literally because he was coming off the Incredible Hulk to do Spider-Man. And when he talked to the editor that wanted him to come on Spider-Man, the first thing he said is, I don't want to draw the black costume. I want to draw the traditional red and blue Spider-Man costume. And and at the time, he was in the symbiotic, the black costume.
Yeah.
And the editor's like, well, we'll figure something out. So Todd literally drew Venom and sent it to him. And he's like, what about this? And the guy's like, we could probably work with that. He's like, whatever you got to do, I don't want to draw that Spidey in the black costume. Damn it. So whereas a lot of people look at 300 as the origin of Venom, he looks at it as the origin of him not having to draw the black costume anymore.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
I like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was unusually charming for Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
I'm used to him being very smarmy and kind of a dick.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd share that with you because I thought it was funny from a comic book aspect.
I like that. That's cool.
I hope you've got a whole month, but I hope you don't take the whole month to see Captain Marvel, because I'm real curious how you feel about it.
Yeah, no, I gotta bump that up on the. And the funny thing is, I don't feel like my feet are being held to the fire by Captain Marvel as much as Endgame.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like you don't want to. You want something to happen in Endgame that you don't know about.
Yeah, I also have not yet watched Venom or Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
both of which I now own. So
nice.
I have access.
I need to go rent Venom. I've seen one scene from it. It was very funny, and I need to see the rest of it.
Well, I think I got the Blu-ray. I can just bring it in for
hey,
you.
Hey, all right. Yeah, and I can diehard you. I can keep it forever.
Well, the funny thing is I won't notice, because it'll be 2023. I still won't have seen it.
Well, it doesn't tie into the rest of the Marvel movies.
I also have the Fantastic Four movie and still haven't watched it, but I've heard it's better off.
Yeah, you may be better off not watching it. Well, James, thanks for hanging out on the phone with us for about a half hour today.
No problem, guys.
Yeah, get back to that important stuff.
I got all my busy important stuff done.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll reconvene in the studio next week for a little more Nerd Radio. I think you've got a new Casual Gamer coming out this week, too, right?
We do. Yes, yeah. We have a new Casual Gamer out. And guess who's going to be featured in it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be me. I'm talking about some Tetris 99. So I'm looking forward to that. What else what else we got to look forward to in this upcoming episode?
I got some news on a video game glitch that could cause your PS4 to die, as well as I introduce everybody into some locally rooted video game creators that need some funding for a game that involves music. You use music as a weapon in an RPG game. It's almost like Final Fantasy meets a Guitar Hero.
Oh, that's got me written all over it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
All right, well, check out.
So it's actually a game I think you'd definitely enjoy.
Make sure you guys check out The Casual Gamer on WRAF.com. And make sure, as I said at the top of this particular segment, make sure wherever you're getting us on your podcast, go and rate and review us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. And
share us with your fellow nerds.
For sure. We're on social media everywhere at Nerd Radio 101. Have a good rest of your week, guys. And don't throw any controllers at TVs. It doesn't work.
It does not.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerd.
And we're out!
A couple of times we have had notes in front of us, but like, we all have the same notes
in front of us.
We've all edited said notes to add things to it. This is the most organized we've ever been, and we could not get that thing off the ground. It was hilarious.
It's like those when they were first trying to get planes to fly.
Yeah, and the washing machine. This was the flying washing machine at the beginning of this show, and I could not have been more delighted with it.
The flying washing machine. Good Lord.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.